this morning we're talking and we're continuing this discussion of what it means to wait on God. Sometimes you'll hear this kind of term, well, we're just waiting on the Lord. We're really unpacking that and what it really means to wait on the Lord, because we go through those times and seasons of waiting in each of our lives. And so we're talking about three different dimensions of what it means to wait on God. You remember last week, we talked about this first aspect of being still and knowing that He is God. So in other words, we talked about specifically to stop fighting and trying to control everything in our lives, but to fill our minds with God and His Word. So we talked about that first dimension or first aspect. Today, I would like to continue in this discussion and talk about the second aspect. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, if you have your Bibles, turn there. If you don't, you can just listen in. But we want to go to God's Word as we do every week. Psalm chapter 40, and I'm going to be reading verses 28 through 31. Psalm 40, I'm saying Psalms. It's Isaiah 40. Thank you for catching me. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's bow our heads and pray as we seek the Lord during this time. Lord Jesus, we want to honor you today. We want to delight ourselves in you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts and minds this morning, that we might be equipped to follow you faithfully and to obey you in every area of our lives. Lord, teach us to wait upon you, and teach us, Lord, to honor your great name in all that we think, say, and do. Lord Jesus, come. Come and move in our midst this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, last April, I was working out at the gym, and one particular day, I noticed that my heart was kind of feeling a little bit awkward, kind of racing, and I wasn't sure what was going on. I'd never really experienced this before. I just kind of paid attention to it, and you know, I've had the weekend, did preaching, did church on Sunday and so forth, and I went back to the gym later in the week, the next week. And there it happened again. I just noticed that not only after the gym, but for a period of time after the gym, I was just feeling this tightness in my chest and just wondering, boys, this feels a little bit serious. I wonder if I'm having a heart attack. I wonder if, you know, I never had any problems like this before, never had a history of this, but just felt obviously concerned. And I remember just sitting there in our living room. I said, Amy, I don't want to mess around with this. My grandfather died of a heart attack at age 57. You know, could be a family history type of thing. So I thought, well, I should probably drive myself to the emergency room and try to figure out what is actually going on here. So sure enough, I'm driving down, and sometimes you imagine things, you don't know what's real, but you feel this tightness in your arms or whatever, and you think, man, this could be a real big serious thing. And I wasn't smiling. I was like, Lord, what is going on? And finally, I show up to the emergency room, and I get there, and I come to the counter, and I said, something's going on with my heart. I'm not sure if I'm having a heart attack or not. And the lady said, well, why don't you go sit over in the waiting room on the chair for a while? And I'm like, man, I missed this. Maybe I should have dropped on the floor and convulsed. Maybe she would have gotten me in immediately. So I'm going there sitting in the emergency room, sitting on this chair, and I'm just kind of, you know, my heart's racing, and I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm like, man, I blew it. I should have just dropped on the floor, done something to get their attention, because, you know, I'm thinking, could I be dying? You know, am I not going to see tomorrow? And you have all these things that are flooding your mind. You know, did I just see my wife and kids for the last time? Or, you know, and all these things were just, my mind was racing, my heart was racing, and I just wasn't sure what was going on. I wasn't sure, basically, because I'd had a largely healthy past, what was taking place. And, you know, those waiting moments there in that literal waiting room seem like an eternity. And maybe some of you have been in those long, eternal moments of waiting rooms. Maybe to get an answer from a doctor. Maybe to hear if a loved one made it through surgery okay. Maybe you've been in the waiting room to get the news of what is happening and what's transpiring. In my case, I was just waiting to see what was going on. But those are excruciating moments when you're in those places, or I will say even seasons, of waiting. And maybe you're here today, and you feel like you're in a waiting room, waiting for God to give you an answer over a particular situation, waiting for a breakthrough in a circumstance, waiting for resolution in a situation. And you're asking God, how long? I just don't know what to do. I need an answer. And my patience is wearing thin. Obviously, this sermon is on waiting, so I'm not going to share what happened in the ER until the end of the sermon, but I will give you a hint right now, I didn't die. So you'll have to wait till the end. But in those moments, or as I mentioned, seasons of waiting, we can often be paralyzed by fear. We can be afraid of what is happening. Suppose my worst nightmare is being realized. Will I have to file for bankruptcy? Is my marriage over? Am I going to be fired? Is it cancer? Is my loved one going to die? Is this serious? And fear begins to creep in at our doorsteps, and our thoughts begin to flood sometimes with worry. And it's during these difficult moments or seasons that we must learn to wait upon God. You know, I read a passage here in Isaiah chapter 40, and I did get that right there. Just to give you a little bit of a context with this particular passage, you see, Israel, in this time in its history, was at a place where they were essentially trying to tell God how to run things. They were trying to tell God what to do, and they were essentially judging God for not doing certain things, or, you know, they're making presuppositional thoughts and positions about what God should and he should not do. And Isaiah is reminding them through the word of the Lord that the Lord comes to his people like a shepherd bringing comfort. And he is neither discouraged nor weak by any situation, and he cares for those who trust in him and for those who wait upon him. And therefore, to wait upon God and to not depend on your own strength or wisdom, or insight over the circumstance. It mentions here in verse 28 that God doesn't grow tired or weary, but you could say we do. We become tired. We become weary. We can burn out and become exhausted, but I will say, and Scripture says that God can't. God is the one who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to read verse 29 once again in Isaiah chapter 40. He says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. So God gives power and strength. How? Well, he answers this in verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So basically what Isaiah is saying, what the Lord is saying through Isaiah, is that when we wait upon the Lord the right way, that this is a key for renewal and supernatural strength, especially during those times where we go through difficult seasons. And it's interesting what Isaiah does here is he uses the image of an eagle mounting up with its wings. You can imagine a cliff rising 1,000 feet above the sea with an eagle's nest on the ledge by the rock. And I can see a mother bird coming to stir the nest to break and push the timid little eaglets out of the precipice. And when they fall, they flutter and they sink down, but the mother eagle spreads out its wings. She catches them so that they can ride upon her wings and she can bring them to this place of safety. And she does this over and over and over again, each time casting them out of the nest and then carrying them until they themselves learn to fly. And it's interesting, I love that image that the Lord uses through the prophet here of an eagle and a mother and its her eaglets, thinking about how God is with us. He is like that. He is spreading his strong wings, as it were, for us to rest in him. When we are weak, we are reminded that he is strong. And so when we are gripped with fear in our lives, we need to learn what I would call the second aspect of waiting on God. We must learn to abide in him. To abide in God. You know, abiding in God means that we learn to rest on his wings, as it were, that he will carry us during those times and seasons of great difficulty. Yes, we first, as we learned last week, must be still and know that he is God, but we must also know that when we abide in him, that he will carry us and that he will teach us to fly by faith and that we can trust him at all times. And so if you're here today and you're looking for true rest in your life, even though you have problems, as we all do, we all have challenges that we have to endure and situations that we have to face, the only way that we can find that peace and rest is finding an ability and a grace to abide or to wait upon God. Somebody once said, peace isn't the absence of conflict, but it's rather the tranquility of order. That God will order in our hearts and minds a certain peace when our minds and our hearts are fixed upon him, so that when this happens, no matter the storms that are raging around us, no matter the challenges that we face, that we can find our peace and our comfort in God. Augustine once said, "My heart is restless until I find my rest in thee." Ken, if you read John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, listen to what is said here.
"Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing."
You know, the truth is, when we wait upon God, it will always lead us to waiting upon Jesus Christ as the glorious consummation of what God's work is. But when we're in the waiting room of life, when we're in those moments or seasons where we're not sure how things are going to play out, we must learn to abide in the vine, to abide in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And we need to understand the truth of that word, that we cannot accomplish anything of any great spiritual significance. We cannot have that true peace of heart and mind apart from Jesus Christ. Oh, we can try to settle the circumstances, but you know, you want to talk about a person that has a strong faith, they can go through the middle of a mess and continue in that peace in their heart and mind, because their peace isn't based on the circumstance, it's based on their relationship with God. We must learn to abide in Jesus Christ. Another way of saying it is, apart from Jesus, you're never going to find true rest or true peace. Ken, if you read Matthew chapter 11, it was quoted just a moment ago.
"Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.
Isn't that an amazing promise? Come to me. If you're burdened by life, if you're burdened by a circumstance, if something is worrying and fear is really crouching at the foot of your door and it's trying to come in your life and in your thoughts, the invitation that God has for each of us today, though our nests are being stirred, He's inviting us to come and find our rest on Him and to abide in Him. The problem for a lot of us is that we try to find our escape in other things. You know, we try to numb ourselves with busyness. Maybe if we're going through a stressful situation at work, we try to overwork, or we try to put our minds on something else. Maybe some of us try to find escapes through addiction, like the bottle or pornography or binge eating or shopping, whatever it may be. And the enemy tries to attack us that way. Some of us try to immediately run when we're going through difficulty to some form of entertainment for escape. Hear me well. Entertainment is the devil's substitute for true joy. And the more joy you have, the less entertainment you need. And for some of us, the only thing that we can do to try to escape our problems is just try to, you know, find a place where we can be entertained, to just think about something else. We go to a movie or do a hobby, and those aren't necessarily bad things necessarily. But if we seek to abide in anything or anyone apart from Jesus Christ, you will never find true rest. You will never find real peace of mind. It is only found when our hope is in God. And in many ways, we are defined by what we run to. Some people, when they get themselves in a pinch, they run to money. Some people run to entertainment, other people to sex, other people to getting drunk or finding a new relationship, everything else but God. But friends, as Christians, we must not be defined by what we run to, but to whom we run to. We run to Jesus Christ. Somebody once said that faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. That we look to God. Andrew Murray once said, we're not going to wait on ourselves to see what we feel and what changes may come. We're going to wait upon God to know first who He is, and then after that, what He will do, that He will impart Himself. You know, if we all had lives where it was just a complete walk in the park, where everything was simple, it was easy, we didn't have any problems, you know, we would become very self-sufficient, wouldn't we? If you know, the bank accounts, we were multimillionaires, had all the money we could ever imagine, health and everything. But friends, that's not the reality of life. We live in a sinful world. And as a result of this, I'm thankful that we have a God who's willing to step into our mess. Jesus, who incarnated Himself, He came to dwell among us, to come and minister and reach us and love us in the middle of our mess. In Clay House, learning to abide is really about making the inward habit of gazing upon God. To fix our eyes, to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, it's so easy when we go through difficulties to begin to look at the things that are around us. We begin to look at the storms that are raging. And it's easy to become discouraged or feel defeated in those situations. And the problem for many of us is that we're only gazing on our circumstances and how difficult they are. Or worse yet, for some of us, because of our pride, we're only often gazing on our own solutions to those circumstances rather than God Himself. Maybe God is bringing us to a place where we don't know how something will be done, so that when it's done, He gets complete glory for what is done. That God will bring us to the end of our ropes to help us to realize it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And some of us, God has been stirring our nests for quite a while. He's tipping over the nests, and we're flopping and flapping in the wind, and He's saying, I'm here, I'm going to carry you. Will you lean into me? problem is that we've leaned on everything else but God. And I will say this, gazing at God is not denying the problems that we face. We are falling many times. I've said this before, but it's worth saying again. People say, well, God will never give you more than you can handle. I don't believe that. I believe God often gives us more than we can handle so that we learn to depend on Him, not ourselves. God may be giving you more than you can handle, but the clue is lean on Him because it's not too big for Him. Holding on, I am held. Ken, if you read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, listen to what the author of Hebrews says here.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne.
You know, just as fear can so often creep right at our doorstep, so does sin and temptation. Notice when Jesus was led into the wilderness, he was led there for 40 days, and that's the time where the devil came in to tempt him. Now we see that Jesus overcame the devil by the power of God's word, and we need to know and stand upon God's word. It's time some of us learn to dust off some of our Bibles and actually get into it and begin to glean from it and trust in God's word. But I will say this, that if you're going through a difficult season, you need to be alerted to the fact that sin and temptation and the devil is working overtime to bring you down. You and I are both on the devil's hit list. But we have power in the name of Jesus Christ, don't we? And we overcome the devil and his schemes by the power of his word and the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that we might proclaim who Jesus is. So we're called to keep our gaze upon Jesus, to look to him. And Jesus paved the way for us. He endured the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. In other words, Jesus saw how God would be glorified and it would be for our good, that we would be restored to the Father. You know, Israel in Isaiah's day needed to be reminded of, just as we do, that God is capable of running everything perfectly fine. Some of us need to hear that. Yes, our nests may be stirred, and we may feel like we're falling. But our job as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to trust in Him and to wait upon God, to abide in God's grace, and let Him carry us during those difficult times. You know, perhaps my favorite several verses in the scripture are found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Ken, if you read this passage as well, listen to what is said here.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones.
Somebody needs to hear that verse this morning. To camp out there, to trust in the Lord and to lean not on our own understanding. And for many of us, we've been leaning way too heavily on our understanding. Yes, God gives us minds and He intends for us to use them, but our minds need to be transformed by the renewing of God's word. And we need to do this daily. And so as we allow our minds to be transformed through God's word, God will begin to help us be able to fix our thoughts on Him rather than our difficulties. You know, later this spring, we're going to celebrate Holy Week. I know it's a little early to be thinking about that, but you know, frankly, we ought to be thinking about the resurrection every day. Amen? We ought to be thinking that fact that He is risen. Hey, This is a great time to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, as with any day. But in a few months, we're going to celebrate Holy Week, and we think about Good Friday. We think about that day as being a day of death, and it was, as Jesus died upon the cross. We think about Easter Sunday as a day of hope. But Saturday is a seemingly ignored mill day between the fact when God occupied a cold grave in a little garden outside of Jerusalem. Saturday is about waiting. Saturday is about uncertainty. Saturday is about a day of not knowing what's going to happen. It's about, as one theologian put it, muddling through when the future isn't so clear. And I've discovered that so much of Christian faith is Saturday faith. That awkward Saturday. That holy day to sit, wait, hope, unsure of what's going to come tomorrow. Saturday is the day that Jesus, in all understanding, lay dead. There's a medieval theologian by the name of Anselm. He once described the kind of faith that comes with Saturday. He says, faith seeking understanding. You know, Saturday is really a day of ambiguity. A day when God is sovereign, even if our ideas and theologies and expectations about Him are not. You know, the traditional recipe, you could say, for Christians, when we look at Friday and Saturday, we tend to look at it through the lens of Sunday. And we should. But we kind of look at Friday and Saturday in light of the resurrection in the same way that we would, if we would watch, let's say, an intense, it's kind of a scary mystery movie if we've seen it a million times. It's scary the first time we see it because we don't know what's going to happen. But when we've seen it, we don't experience it the same way that we did the first time we saw it. You know, that original Saturday must have been torturous. It must have been torturous. And frankly, there's some of us that are right there, right now, with life. Some of you are experiencing that awkward Saturday, living in the ambiguity of a situation where you don't know quite how it's going to work out. For me, it was sitting in that ER room. Eventually, the doctor called me back, nurses and so forth. They ran EKGs and chest x-rays and all these things. And after about an hour or so, and the blood work and tests were back, the doctor came in and says, Tim, I have great news for you. Your heart is good and strong, and you didn't have any heart attack. I'm like, yes. I'm going to see my wife and kids when I get home. But what you are experiencing are PVCs, they're premature ventricular contractions. Basically, they were extra abnormal heartbeats that disrupted sort of my normal heart rhythms, palpitations, and it was exacerbated when I was working out and so forth. And he said, thankfully, this is largely benign. It's largely harmless if there aren't any other serious heart issues. But it can be helped by avoiding caffeine and having the proper diet and exercise. So I thanked the Lord from there, and I left and went to McDonald's and had a Big Mac. No, I'm just... I was grateful for the Lord's mercies. But that episode taught me something that I think all of us need to learn. That no matter what life brings us, no matter how our nests are stirred, whether at work, at home, and our relationships, and our situations, that the invitation that God has for each and every one of us is to wait upon Him and to abide in Jesus, even when things don't make sense, to trust that He will carry us. and that he will enable us to mount up with wings as eagles. It's during those times of testing or seasons of testing that God builds faith in us, that we become more and more like Jesus. And friends, I'm convinced with all my heart that God knows how to work things out for his glory and our good. There's an old song, "Trust and Obey," for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's a simple song that I learned as a kid. Maybe some of you learned that as well. But the words are so true. Trust and obey. I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts and minds today. Will you trust me? Even if you don't have the answers, can you abide in my grace? You know, we learned the song at the beginning of the service, "Yes, I Will." I hope that's your answer today. Yes, I will, God. I don't understand what's going on. The storms are raging. My body's in pain. Yes, I will. Lord, I trust in you. Will you stand to your feet? Before we sing this song, I'm going to pray. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you, God, that you are a God who never fails. You've never failed us. And Lord, there are times when you disrupt our nests, where you tip us over. But you never tip us over to a place where your wings aren't there to carry us. And so, Lord, teach us to fly by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.